I don't know when in the past decade I've ever been less aware that it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, I mean, normally the pregame hype is the only thing that lightens up these dark days in the end of January and early February. And by the time the big game rolls around, you pretty much know the life story of every player, every coach, and every cheerleader. You've had a prediction on the game from everybody you know and their sister, and you're pretty sure what you're going to be doing. Because normally, late January, pretty dull time of year. The Super Bowl hype speaks to what happens when there's not much going on. Because when there's a lot of darkness, it only takes a little bit of light to make a big difference. But right now, there's a lot going on in our world. There are a lot of things vying for our attention. There are a lot of people speaking up and speaking out passionately, and the volume has been cranked up. It doesn't make the sound any more clear. There's just a lot of voices crying out in the darkness, and all of us are looking for a little bit of light. Now, I don't know how you all feel about it, but I don't think it's going very well for anyone. We're building up walls of hate and aggression when we're called to build bridges into a new future. We seem to be retreating into the darkness of the past rather than moving forward into the light of God. And we are called to be something else, which I think is why we're here. We're here not because we're liberal or conservative. We're both. We're here not because we're Democrats or Republicans. We're both. We're here for one reason. Because we follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we're here to respond to the gospel, to the good news. We are here to put God first. And you know what? It's not always popular, and it's not always easy, but it's always right. It's always right to live into what Jesus taught us about how to be. It's always right to encourage others and to hold them up and to build them up. It's always right to be the light of the world. And that's what Jesus tells us we are today. You are the light of the world, Jesus says in this piece of Matthew that we read today. You are the light of the world. You are the light that shines in the darkness. You are the light that reveals the truth. Truths that are sometimes hard to hear. Truths that are sometimes frightening, because they're unfamiliar. Truths that are sometimes difficult. But this is what Jesus tells us to do, to spread the light, not hide it under a bushel basket. And when we've heard the words that Jesus has taught us, we're not supposed to tuck them away somewhere, but we're supposed to proclaim them from a mountaintop. I've got this great pulpit. Anybody can use it if you want. But this is what Jesus is doing today in this continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. And if I'm reading the Bible correctly, which I'm sure some of you will tell me I'm not, and I'm sure I'm not always doing it right. Don't worry, I'm not that confident about that. But you know what? People did not always like what Jesus had to say. And some of the biggest issues that they had with him was with those whom he was willing to include in his embrace of love. with Jesus, the other was always welcome, perhaps more so than those on the top rungs of society. And with that, Jesus created fear. Jesus created loathing by inviting others along. I mean, like, it happens over and over again. Whether it was the Samaritan woman at the well, a woman who he was willing to speak to of all things, and a Samaritan, somebody from another country, a country that was feared and despised. And Jesus spoke with her and shared the good news with her in John chapter 4. And then there were notorious sinners cast out from society because of things that they'd done wrong. Jesus shared the light with them and shared a meal with them in Mark chapter 2. And there were prostitutes and there were tax collectors in Matthew 9. There is no other in the world of Jesus. There are no borders. And we are all refugees, all seeking sanctuary in the one who has come to bring salvation and offer it to all. And if we believe that all people were created equal in the eyes of God, we need to live into that in all that we do and all that we are. Not just sometimes when it's convenient or when it makes us feel safe. There cannot be exceptions when somebody looks different. There cannot be exceptions when somebody worships differently. There cannot be exceptions because of where somebody came from. When we create any division, we create the opening for more divisions. When we make that one crack, we fractured the windshield of clarity and are left with the pieces that make truth so much less visible. Now, I say this all on the first Sunday in February, the first Sunday in Black History Month, a month where we honor and celebrate the contributions to our lives, to our world, and to our culture made by people who were once considered other, who were once considered less than. And one of the things that clearly rings true throughout all the ages is that our exclusion and banishment of any group of people has led us down the wrong path. The enlightenment of inclusion is the light that needs to be put on the lampstand for all to see with a sign that says, "You are welcome here." We have a long history of getting this wrong. We've made this mistake in this country over and over again with immigrants from China who built our railroads, with immigrants from Ireland who are my ancestors. We've enslaved people from Africa. We locked up Japanese Americans during World War II. We've treated LGBTQ citizens as second-class citizens, and it has never, ever been the right thing to do. So why should it be right now? Now, inclusion is not always easy. But what we're called to do as Christians is not always easy. Love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And we're called to give of ourselves. And we're called to give not just that which is extra, but we're called to give of things of value. We're called to give sacrificially so that others can share in the light. We are called to risk some so all can be rewarded. And this is where I think our faith is a little bit salty, a little bit spicy, Sometimes more than we want. Sometimes harder than we want. Sometimes we come wanting peace, and that's just not what we're going to get because we've got work to do. Because Jesus was a little bit spicy. Too spicy for some. Way too spicy for others. Christianity, at its best, is not bland. And if it becomes bland, I'm not sure we're doing what the gospel is calling us to do, because we are called to push back against the powers and structures of society that exclude people and make them feel less than. And as the gospel today says, if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? If our practice of faith is just being nice and not taking on some of the difficult questions that we face in the world, it's lost its zest. It's lost its power to create change. It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. As it says in the gospel. So yeah, I think sometimes we have to be a little bit spicy so we can be the light of the world, even if it's not easy. There are things that are hidden in the darkness that don't want to be seen, and we are those are the places where we are called to shine the light. And Jesus knows it's going to be hard. I mean, the last paragraph of the gospel today, Jesus said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not one stroke of the letter, not one stroke of one letter of the law is going to be wiped out. We have to do all those things. These laws that the Jewish people held sacred, that the Jewish people hold sacred, are part of our tradition. These commandments that tell us how to live and how to live with each other. But Jesus came to build on that. To expand the love of God. And guess what? We're part of the expansion pack. When we see injustice in the world, we are called to speak out. It's not politics. It's living into the gospel. When we see people marginalized and act to hold them up, it's not politics. It's living into the gospel. When we see people excluded and take steps to bring them in, to draw them in into the circle of love, it's not politics. It's the gospel. And when we act in love and not in fear, it's the gospel. And if we are to be the light of the world, this is the work that we have to do. Where there is injustice, we are called to shine the light. Where there is exclusion, we are called to shine the light. Where anyone is treated as less than, we are called to shine the light. And with all the darkness that so many of us feel around us right now, it only takes a little bit of light to make a big difference. And this light is ours. This is what Jesus brought us and what Jesus commissioned us to do. We are the light and we are called to grow the light. And we are called to grow this light when we act in love and not in fear. And when we take action that shows that we care about the poor, the destitute, the hungry, the homeless, the disenfranchised, and the refugee, we are living into the gospel. This light is ours. This light is mine. This light is yours. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.